thanks for the opportunity to stand up here and talk and be the last speaker. and thank you for inviting me, Tommy, Harrison, Ron. I want to talk about the small seed, but from a machinery manufacturer's perspective. And I got a great segue from my colleague and mentor, Bill Mayfield, and also from good customer Richard Kelly, looking at his the video that he provided. But what this is a graphic of a typical seed roll. It's not any particular seed roll from any particular gen, but let me get the pointer. But basically, it's oval, semi-oval shape. The key components are the gen saw and the rib, your top panel or top cove, your front panel, and this is the bottom area or bottom panel with a little adjustable device here. Years ago, we called them lambrequins or seed fingers. But notice that the seed roll, the geometry of the seed roll, and you saw this in the video, how it comes and it sort of opens or expands at this point. The gin saw picks the cotton back up, and then it actually compresses that between, in this case, this is an agitator, could be a seed tube, but it compresses, and then you see a relief at this point right here. Traditionally, the seed comes out of the bottom. It's a clean seed, but we're also having an area here where the seed can come loose. To Richard's point, he thinks it's extruding here. I believe it's dropping here. Either way, you're losing a little bit of control of it at this point. And this is where we saw seed coming through at his gen plant. Typically how these seed rolls work, and whether Henry Ogden Holmes knew this or he discovered it by mistake, it's almost magic what happens inside this seed roll. Because you have seed cotton coming in, and in his days, the seed cotton was fed in up here. Currently, and as you saw in the video, the seed cotton is fed here. Saw picks it up. What you have is just mass confusion and collisions at this point. Now, the magic part is how that gen seed gets out of that seed roll. It's not obvious, but it does happen. What happens is that seed, as it gets gin and gets the lint taken off, it tends to migrate between the saws, and it ends up migrating through the roll and discharging at the bottom. And there are different ways to manipulate that with this device right here. But otherwise, that's basically how gin works. Now, some of that clean seed has to migrate all the way from the center out. And if anybody knows anything about the Continental gin with the seed tube, that's clean seed that comes out through that seed tube. So it actually comes out in the center. But the key is it's a continuous operation, and it's continuous, and it reaches a steady state, basically, where you got material coming in and clean seed coming out, and you can hold that steady state. And you can keep that, and you can maintain it. You can increase that capacity, but it'll reach that state, and it'll continue to hold there. Now, it's not easy to come up with this geometry, which is another word that Bill Mayfield mentioned. But the geometry is the key to how the seed roll in a gin stand works. And one of the main things about this is you never, ever want to lose control of that roll. You can't let it get loose. You control that down here. But if you ever lose control of the roll, you're going to lose control of your seed as well. So I want to talk about the geometry a little bit. Once that design is set, the evolution of that design is extremely, extremely slow. In other words, we don't change the roll design from year to year, or over the next 5 years, or the 10 years. Some of the existing gin rolls have been that way for 20 to 30 years. We have that one roll is out there to handle every variety of cotton, every variable that goes in with that variety of cotton, and every geographic location in the world. There's not a different seed roll for Australian cotton. There's not a different one for African or for Texas cotton. They're all the same. Minor changes in that geometry can have huge implications on the way that gen performs. And you wouldn't think that a half-inch modification or a half-inch change here or a little change in curvature here would have a big significant impact. It can have a huge impact. So what we try to do is we try to get to that set optimum design, and then we don't try not to mess with it. We don't like having to mess with it. We don't want to change in that regard. We do not like to have to change anything. Now, about that seed roll. During that ginning process, a seed roll will build to what I call an optimum density. It gets to a density that it likes, and it'll maintain that density. Now, for argument's sake, let's say it's the same across the whole length of gin stand. In reality, it's not. That density varies from end to end, and it's affected by all kinds of factors. The boundary effect on the end, the way the cotton comes out of the feeder, but for all practical purposes, when it gets to that density and you're at that steady state, it's going to try to maintain that. Now, as that density increases, your gin seeds migrate to the outside of the roll where they are discharged. That's why when you start up a gin without any cotton in the roll, there's no seed coming out of the bottom. It's not going to drop it until it starts to build that roll. So the building of that roll, the forming of that dense roll in that gin stand, that's the mechanism. One of the mechanisms that makes that seed come out of the roll. It's also the number of saws, the type of saws, but I mean mainly you have to build a roll to get to the steady state. And the method and position discharge can be externally influenced, and that's like with the lambrequin, as I mentioned before. Now, I've worked on some seed roll designs where I actually put louvers in the front covers of the seed roll. To try to influence where the seed came out. That's one of those modifications you don't want to make because the implications can be significant. So, now one other point, I don't know that I actually mentioned it later on. I'm talking about this optimum density. You can get to a point, and to Richard's point, where we're pushing these machines for their length to we're pushing them to the edge. One sure sign that you've reached that is you'll have unginned cotton coming out with your seed. That's one sure measure that you have got. You've reached that point, or you've gone beyond that point. You'll have unginned cotton coming out with a gin seed. Now, seed roll is sensitive to all kinds of variables, and I mean all kinds. We talked about geometry, throughput. I talked about evenness of feed, but different cultivars, seed count, the turnout will affect it. Residual length, fiber attachment force, saw spacings, horsepower, and that's a two-edged sword. Horsepower, but also the condition of the roll will actually impact how the horsepower is distributed or how much horsepower is required. Fiber strength, length, nips, trash content, moisture content. You wouldn't think nips would have an impact on your power requirements, but it does, as does trash and moisture content. Now, has the size of the cotton seed gotten smaller over time? I'm with you, Richard, 100%. I believe it's gotten smaller. There was a Cotton Digest article from back in 2005, yes, basically said that the 10-year trend line for seed yield, this is seed yield I'm talking about per acre, showed that it was down 14%. And in 1 year, from 03, 04 to 04, 05, it dropped 8% in just that 1 year. The mean seed size of cotton varieties have been decreasing for the last 30 years. This is based on a paper by Bednarz back in 2007. So if that's 30 years, now we're talking 40 years, and there's other papers out there that say this is actually going back 60 years. We've been talking about this ever since I've been coming to this meeting. You know, and actually, I don't want to say we give it lip service. That's not the right way to put it. But I believe it's as big an issue as these gentlemen believe it is. And I know there's others in the room that feel the same way. So I think there's opportunities for some more research out there. Can it affect the gin stand performance? Well, I'll talk about energy. The planar content both decreased when larger seeds were ginned with higher turnout. So getting back to the reason I put that up there, I just wanted to let you know that In this case, they found that the smaller seed actually used required more energy, but it wasn't just the seed size that had an impact. It was the linear content as well. There's so many variables out there. It's not just one that you can look at that causes these problems. It's probably going to be one, two, or three or more that combined will have this effect. The dominant factor relating to genetic energy was linear content, but the energy increased when the smaller seeds with more residual in it were gen. Same thing. So it's not just the seed size that's the issue. It's also another factor, which in this case was residual in. We've been talking about seed loss at gin stands and link cleaners for years, so it's not a new phenomenon. But with this increased turnout, we're seeing the smaller seed, the implications are more severe. And to Wes's point, it's reducing the profits of the producer and the ginner. It's really hitting the ginners hard, no doubt about it. And attempts to mitigate by mechanical means, in other words, trying to modify that seed roll to counter the effect that we're seeing from the small seed, can have some significant implications, and they're not always good. So, I pose these questions, and actually I pose this as an area where we may need to do some research. If we have more seeds in the seed, do we have more seeds in the seed roll? Given that density, are we actually ended up with more seeds in the seed roll for a given density than we were? If so, more seeds, more surface interactions. Now, if these opposing forces from these surface interactions are allowing for a smaller seed to escape through gaps that previously weren't really an issue, they were benign. And when you mitigate these gaps, close them up, does it actually increase your energy requirements? We've seen some increase in horsepower requirements that are related to the smaller seed as well. But again, it's not only that one factor. It's not the seed size or seed count. There's always something else in there with it that causes this. So these are some opportunities for some further research down the road. Some colleagues of mine have some presentations at the second half of this session that they can get into more detail in that regard. But that's my presentation. Are there any questions? Because I'm already a minute over.
In terms of roll block geometry, if you're saying that it changes slowly over time with some of the new tools that we have, is it something that could be, or you may already be doing this, or some sort of models to determine what the optimal geometry?
You know, I'm not sure how you would do that because there's so many variables that go into this. See, that's I was involved in the development of the 170 gin stand. That was done before I came to Lomas, but I was pretty key in the development of the 161. And I know in the development of that gin stand, we worked with 36 different seed roll configurations before we got to where we could control that roll. That's the biggest deal, is being able to control the roll, having it expand at the right place, and not drop ungen seed. But you have to maintain control of the roll. And it's not just the geometry. You have speeds you have to deal with. You got the saw speed. If you have an agitator, it's the agitator speed. And you can play with those. And we've actually done some work with the agitator speeds in the last couple of years. And what we ended up with after we put variable speed drives on, we ended up back with our standard drive set. So, which is where we try to get to when we get to these designs. And that's why once we get there, we don't want to change anything. We made some minor changes in our ribs. We had to go back and relick that. It's seed roll is very sensitive to changes.
Tweaks.
Yeah. And you got to think about this. That one mechanism handles all varieties. Every variety that's grown under all different conditions. You do it all with that one, that's a, you know, we're very reluctant to have to change anything. Richard drugged me screaming and dragging and clawing through that, but we worked together and got some good stuff done. But it's not that I don't believe it's not happening, because I know it is happening. It's just that we have to be very careful what we do in that regard because of some of the implications that go on.
Anything else for our panel?